In your Bibles, the 2 Corinthians in chapter number, excuse me, nope, that was for Sunday school. Some of you are like, hey, we were just there. Luke chapter number 24, excuse me, Luke chapter number 24, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1. We're going to kind of go through the whole chapter of verse 24, but we won't read the chapter 24, but we won't read the whole chapter. It's kind of a long one, but it is a good one. So when you have time, I would encourage you to read it. But we're just going to read the first 11 verses here. So Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1 and going down through verse number 11. If you would stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God, if you are willing and able, we'll begin as we read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we serve a risen Savior, and I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. I pray that you would bless this message. Pray it would speak to hearts as only your word can. We love you and thank you again for what this day represents and for the victory you won when you rose from the grave. We thank you again for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Today, I'd like to go through this chapter with you and consider some of the different ways in which people responded to the news that Jesus was alive. Because there are very different ways in which people respond. That somebody rose from the dead is a pretty bold claim. I mean, let's be honest. If somebody came in here and said, hey, you got to go outside. Somebody is just died and now they're getting back up. I would be coming up with a lot of different explanations for the situation. If they are telling the truth, then I mean, there are a lot of different things I would be thinking. None of which would be, okay, this is actually happening. You see, that just, we wouldn't believe that. Because that's a pretty bold claim. And bold claims always have a multitude of responses that they evoke. And so we need to understand that we also, even though we are believers, even if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you believe that this is a true account, there's going to be different ways in which you're going to respond to the news that we serve a living Savior, that He is risen. And I would like to go through a few of those this morning as we look to the account of how Jesus rose from the dead. Here in Luke chapter 24, on that last verse that we read together, it says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Okay, Jesus said He would rise. Now He is risen, and people come and proclaiming He is risen, and yet it was received as idle tales. You would think that would have been, okay, well, that was probably the Pharisees, or that may have been the Romans who received it as idle tales. No, this was His disciples, the apostles, the ones who had sat at the feet of Jesus and learned at the feet of Jesus for 3 years, the ones who had also heard the words that Jesus would rise again. But they explained it away some other way in their mind, kind of like we would if we heard somebody was rising from the dead outside. Because that's a bold claim. And not even the disciples could come to the point where they believed it. When they first heard it, they said, idle tales. Idle tales, that means fairy tales. I mean, it's tales that you would tell around a campfire. I remember the first time my dad took me camping. He was nice, but not completely nice. He showed restraint because my mom made him, but he did. I remember the very first day my dad told me a spooky story around a campfire, and it haunts me to this day, even though it was very, very, very tame as far as from what I would hear from him later. But it's still, I mean, I remember that claim that the it was in the end because I couldn't sleep that night and it was kind of ruining our camping trip. I remember my dad, he took me aside. It was nothing. It was just a story. It's not real. And my mom had to tell me that all night long. That would be an idle tale, something somebody just makes up. Maybe somebody made up and it had a really good effect, so they passed it on. And so that's why a lot of us have heard some of the same idle tales, because it's a good one. But in the end, they're made up stories. When the apostles first heard from Mary and Joanna, they heard the words that they said, and they thought they were telling them a story. Wishful thinking. A fairy tale. The best news in the history of humanity. And it was received as a joke. Or just a story. And this was his apostles. The ones who should have embraced and been looking and had the faith to know, okay, Jesus, I mean, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And yet they were among the Pharisees who said, oh, himself he can save. Or others he can save, but himself he cannot save. And those words had stuck in their mind, and they thought they had just seen him not 2 weeks earlier raise Lazarus from the dead. But again, you know, there were those doubts. Well, maybe Lazarus wasn't all the way dead. You know, that who knows? But and in the end, they said, oh, that's one thing to raise somebody else from the dead. But when you're dead, you're not alive to raise yourself from the dead. It was logical that this was another level. And so you can understand why they were skeptical. But to take it as idle tales. And yet, I hear in this day and age, when we go out and I see and I talk with people, and, you know, not just because I'm a pastor do I go out and tell people that Jesus is risen. I do it because I know he's risen because he's in my heart. There are many songs that talk about the relationship that believers can have with their Lord Jesus Christ. And I know him to be real, and I know him to be risen. And that's why I go out, not because, oh, well, you're a pastor, you got to do that. No, because I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. I know that Jesus Christ is risen. I believe it with all my heart. And as a result, I go out and I tell people about it. And yet, as I go out and about, I get a lot of responses. Some of them would fall in the category of idle tales. Maybe you're here today. You hear, oh, well, I've got a family member here, or my mom told me, I promised her before she departed that I was always going to go to church on Easter. You know, there are people like that. I've met many. So it's possible that you're here today and all of this is just idle tales. You really don't know that you believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It's possible. There's a lot of people out there. They'll use God's name as a curse word, but they don't really believe that he rose from the dead. They don't even really believe that he was a real person. So yes, it's possible that you are sitting in church on Easter Sunday and take his resurrection as idle tales. It's a good reason to get together, you know, have some candy, watch some kids laugh and play. But in the end, is it real? I don't know. Some take it as idle tales. See the second response. We see then arose Peter. At least he had the decency to get up. Okay, there might be something. This I'll go check. You know, this is probably like when my dad told me about the Moscow River Slayer that Sunday around the campfire. We went down to the Moscow River to check. You know, I sent my brother down to the Moscow River to check, but we went down there and. But I do remember thinking, okay, you know, if nothing happens in about 5-10 minutes, then no, I'll be convinced that it's not that it's not true. But then arose Peter, even though he was among them that took it for idle tales. To his credit, he got up and he said, "Oh, let's check it out." He ran into the sepulcher, stooping down, beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. See, he went from idle, from considering it idle tales, to wondering what had come to pass. I remember when I was at that stage. I was saved as a 4-year-old boy. And it was a Sunday afternoon, because my dad had just preached a sermon. And then I had come home, and I remember praying and asking Jesus to come into my life on my dad's waterbed. So if that doesn't date me, then I don't know what does. But I knelt down and I prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save me. And I know that he did, because God hears the prayers when people call out to him with a genuine heart and they ask him to save them, he will. And he did that day. But I remember leading up to that moment, there were times even before I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, there were times when I wondered. I heard the stories in Sunday school, and I think I believed them. I saw the change that they made in my mom and dad's life. And even after, because let's be honest, even once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we still have times of doubt and fear. I remember there were times when I would hear a story, and I would wonder, I'm not ready to accept this truth just now, but I feel like there's something here. Have you ever had that feeling about something? I feel like there's something there, but I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. Called that sixth sense, or it's honestly, as a believer, it's the Holy Spirit of God saying you should think about this a little longer. You should meditate about this, because there's something there. Perhaps you're here today and you're of that category, that group of people who hear and think about a risen Savior. Jesus rose from the dead. You know, it was so long ago. Who can know for sure? But you do wonder. Because I do see that this story, and if it is a story 2,000 years ago, it's still changing lives today. Now, is it? Yeah, you may even think, well, is it possible? It's all a psychological trick, because that's what the world says about Christians. And if they look like they're real, if they're really living it, it's just it's a psychological phenomenon. Is it? I don't know. We need to wonder, because there's something here. You can look, and if you've met people who know God, if you've met people who know Jesus, there are some who claim Jesus and they've never lived a day for God in their life. That's why I'll never accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's why I'll never become one of those church-going believers, because I've just seen so many of them say that they're Christians, say that they know Jesus, and they live like they don't. You're right, that does happen. You know, I can't refute that. All I can say is I know what Jesus has done inside of me. I know that I'm not perfect, and there are times when I fail because I'm a human being. And sometimes I'm just going to do what human beings are going to do. But in the end, I know that there's hope in my Savior, because he's alive. Amen. I can overcome any amount of sin. It doesn't matter how far I fall. I know that there's hope. That's why I can go and look a mass murderer in the face and say, you know, there's a lot you have to answer for. But in the end, my Savior died for you. And he has the authority to save you from that sin, because he's alive. You see, if he was a dead Savior, then he wouldn't be able to help us with our sinful ways. He wouldn't be able to help us, but he does. So you have to wonder, is there really something to this? Even as believers, we have to wonder, why if this is so real and so true, why am I not more affected by this? Could it be that your response to a risen Savior is starting to wane? You know, you would never say it's idle tales. But you still have allowed that doubt. There was a time when you believed it and you lived it. But now it's just become not as fresh, not as real. Maybe you should wonder about why that is. Meditate on that, because the truth of God's word has not changed. It was the same truth that saved your soul when you came to him. It's the same truth that can give you joy and grace and peace today. And if you've lost that, the reason isn't because Jesus is no longer risen. He's still alive. He's still there. The reason is something in our heart has changed. And we need to wonder about it in a good way, not in the way Peter did. So there are those who will take it as idle tales. There are those who wonder at it. Then there are those who have it staring them in the face. We have this story beginning in verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus." And for sake of time, I'm going to just give you a paraphrase. These two disciples are walking along the road to Emmaus, and suddenly Jesus is standing there next to him, but they don't recognize him as Jesus. The Bible says here that their eyes were holden. In verse 16, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." So Jesus didn't let them recognize him. You say, why would Jesus do that? Well, he had a purpose. Because the first time it was heard, it was taken as idle tales. The second time, there was a response to it. Peter said, I wonder what happened. Well, now it's staring them in the face. The truth of Jesus Christ alive is staring them in the face, and their eyes were holden. It means they could not bring themselves to believe it. Because this word holden means they were holden by something. It doesn't say who they were holden by. Even if you go back to the Greek, it says that this is a matter of their eyes were shut, but it could have been a willful blindness, or it could have been something that Jesus was doing, but was allowing to prove a point. I personally believe that it was a willful blindness. They just weren't expecting it. Have you ever been there? There's times when you're just going walking along, and this happens all the time in my house. And I'll look at them like, "How long have you had that painting up?" "She's been there 6 months." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it looks good, babe." You know, I'm trying not. She's like, I'm terrible. Some details I'm terrible at noticing. You know, when did you get your hair cut? It's about time for my haircut again. That's how long it's been since my... thankfully, it's not ever been quite that bad. But sometimes something can be staring us in the face and we just don't realize it because we're not looking for it. I believe they just weren't looking for it because they were so far from believing that Jesus Christ could be standing next to them that they did not even recognize the truth, even when it was staring them in the face. Their eyes were holden. There was a willfulness to not see what was seen, what was there to be seen and there for the taking. You know, there are some of you who may, at the end of this message, realize, okay, there is a risen Savior. There's people here. These people really believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I don't know. It may be true. I think there's a good chance, and the Holy Spirit of God may do a work in you. And you may start to be convicted of the idea that I think this is real. I think Jesus is risen. I think if he truly did conquer sin and the grave, then I should pay attention to him. Then I should accept him as Savior. I should become a believer in Jesus Christ. But there will be something that holds you back. And your eyes will be holden. And even though you see the truth, it doesn't mean you're going to accept it. These same two men we see at the end of the chapter here, in verse 30. "And it came to pass," this is still Jesus, "as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Something jogged their memory. See, Jesus spoke with them. We see that in verse 32. "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" See the difference between someone who has seen the truth and refuses to believe it and someone whose eyes are opened and accepts that truth is the Holy Spirit of God causing our hearts to burn within us. See, Jesus is alive. He is risen. It's the truth. It's that burning in your heart that you can't shake off. It's there. There's a hole in your heart. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may look for answers. You may look for something to fill that void in this world. A career. People have chosen relationships. People have taken art. They've tried everything that provides some kind of feeling, some kind of satisfaction. And they've tried to put it in that hole, but it doesn't work. That's why you see no matter how many people have come, have enjoyed art, no matter how many times that somebody has given their life to something, no matter how beautiful something has been made, there's still people in those areas. There's still artists. There's still people seeking that in their lives on a regular basis, and none of them have found the answer. There's not one of them has written a book and said, "If you'll do this, you can have satisfaction for what you've been longing for in life." There isn't any of them, because the fact is that I'm not the same as you are, and you're not the same as I am. So anything that we can come up with it's not going to be able to fill our hole, because we don't even know ourselves. But God created us all with a need to have fellowship with Him. And when we sinned, we broke that fellowship with Him. And nothing can replace God but God. Doesn't matter how much money you can amass, it won't be as much as God has. Doesn't matter how much power and influence you can gain, you still won't be greater than God. You're always going to need something, because that something is God. And no amount of infinity that you can get for yourself is going to match the infinity that God is. You need God. And the only way to have God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. You have to believe that He's a risen Savior. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us? By the way, is there that just something about the Bible? As you go throughout life, you'll hear a verse, there's just something about that book. There's just something about the Bible. Now that's the wondering. It's the Holy Spirit of God convicting, whether you've accepted Him or not, that there's something about the Bible. Because there have been times in my life, as a believer, when I've walked away from God and I haven't really given due attention to His Word. And then the Lord will bring a verse to my mind, or I'll see it somewhere, and I begin wondering. I realize there's something there that I've been missing. And if I react right to it, I'm not just going to stop at wondering. I'm going to come to the point where, Lord, burn my heart again at Your words. What was it that caused their heart to burn within them? While He talked with us, by the way. See, the Word of God is being proclaimed right now. I'm reading. You notice everything I'm saying, I'm bringing back to the Word of God. These are not my words. They're the words of our Heavenly Father. They're the words of God. If your heart is burning within you, it's because He's talking to you, by the way. You need to respond. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let today be that day. I can't think of a better day to come to the knowledge that you know a risen Savior than on Easter Sunday. Christian, you say, I know Jesus, but I just haven't been living for Him. That could be the case. If you're not living for Jesus Christ, then the answer is the same. His words still go out. His words still proclaim that He is a risen Savior and we ought to be living for Him. Does your heart burn within you at the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because if they do, We're not just supposed to stand there and do nothing about it. Because you can ignore it. A burning heart is something that, you know, you can walk out those doors and you can keep trying to fill that hole with other things other than what the Lord Jesus Christ wants for us. But it's never going to work. Whether you're saved or not, you can try to fill your need for God with everything this world has to offer, but you're always going to be left unsatisfied. So what response do you have to the knowledge that He is alive? It's a fact. It was witnessed. It's been historically documented. In fact, scholars say that there is more evidence, more written evidence that Jesus Christ walked this earth and rose from the dead than there is that Alexander the Great conquered all the known world. And that's something else. Because they put snippets together of where he went and how he and what he did. And everybody would agree, all scholars agree, yes, Alexander the Great, he did what he did. He conquered the entire known world. I read that growing up. Everybody knows that as a fact. But there's more written evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than of that. It's a fact. How will you respond to that fact? Will you just say, no, it's idle tales? Will you say, there might be something to it, but I need to think about it a little bit more? Oh, you're getting closer. Perhaps you say, there's something to it, but I don't think I'm going to, I'll just ignore it. Are you going to hold your own eyes and say, I know it's true, but I'm not going to do anything about it? It's your life. It's your heart. You can decide to do that. Or are you going to acknowledge that burning within your heart that I do need God? And there is something missing from my life. And I think that it's true. I'm not going to be able to fill it on my own. Well, the words of Jesus say, come unto me, I will give you rest. Jesus wants us to come to him. Believe on him for salvation. Believe on him for our daily needs, our daily fellowship. Everything that we do as a believer or as someone who has yet to come to Christ needs to be centered around our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way to know true joy and true fulfillment in this life. So today I would ask, we're going to have a time of invitation. And that time of invitation is when we give opportunity to respond to the Word of God. Because here at this church, we believe when the words of Christ go out, when the words of God are spoken, that burning in the heart is a desire for God to talk back to us. Or a desire for God for us to talk back to Him. And so we're going to have a time of invitation when you can do just that. If that burning is in your heart, don't ignore it. Don't hold your eyes indefinitely. Come to Christ today and know satisfaction for real. Let's all stand to our feet and bow our heads.